This time by local realtor Bon Vivant, man about town, Matt Cargiolotti, Vegas.
Is this thing on?
Yeah, it is, as a matter of fact. Lounge Lizard.
Please don't tap the cage.
Don't. Whatever you do. Don't feed the animals.
That's right.
Welcome back, man.
Hey, how you doing?
Did you have a good time?
I did. It was huge and a lot of time, but it's a lot to take in.
Of course, you were at the big conference in Las Vegas.
Yeah, I was at the RE/MAX's annual R4 conference, and it's the largest real estate conference in the world, and it's incredible. I mean, it's stunning. Last year, I mean, Bon Jovi. It's so big. Bon Jovi plays the conference, right?
Yeah.
And this year they had a country guy singing, and I can't remember.
You don't remember who it was?
I didn't go. I don't. It's not my thing.
Yo.
So it'll come up later. But
okay. Was it a famous country person?
Yeah, I think so.
Oh yeah. Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
Goober McNutley.
Right.
And, yeah. Okay.
Exactly. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. There's a tear in my beer.
Wasn't
it was at the moment
wasn't
anyway.
Tim McGraw, was it?
It was Tim McGraw.
Oh, okay.
It was Tim McGraw. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So you know him?
Yeah. I think everybody does.
Okay.
Yeah, he's married to Faith Hill,
the
football gal who sings the Monday Night Football sound.
Yeah, I don't know.
Wow. Okay, Sunday Night Football.
This is like kind of my weakness is I really don't know country music anything.
He's crossed over to a lot of stuff.
Oh, he has.
He has.
That's why I heard of him.
Yeah, they're one of the big country power couples.
Oh, okay.
Tim and Faith. Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
But he played it and it was I guess a really good performance. I didn't go. One of our agents went, and she said it was awesome. She's like, it's incredible. It's like, you know, here I was like 30 feet away from him for the whole thing, and so that was kind of neat. But, really my biggest takeaway from the conference was it wasn't just me. It was my agents and then my marketing director, Jess, who's been on before, and just so they can kind of like get into technologies and see the new systems and to kind of make sure they're current with what's going on. But the biggest takeaways are just like the technological changes that are really on the horizon. I mean, and this is, don't get me wrong. I mean, it's obviously it's a RE/MAX branded conference, but it's really what it is. It's just a really large conference for real estate. And so, I mean, the speakers vary from, CEOs of other companies and, like I've even seen, like you know, the CEO of Zillow, actually, you know, walk up and have a discussion. It's kind of fascinating too. I mean, that wasn't at this conference per se, but those sort of things, that was pretty common. Last year, there was actually the chief economist for Zillow was there and discussed and actually try to kind of have a little back and forth with her a little bit, and that worked out pretty well. But just seeing the huge variety of changes that are going to be coming, and so many of them are going to be so passive to the consumer they won't even realize. So it's going to be interesting. The big ones like how artificial intelligence is really impacting real estate, and so Realtor and Zillow have really kind of already changed their platforms for that. Right?
I'm sorry.
Artificial intelligence, you can't help it.
I was just going to say, if you ask me, there's a lot of artificial intelligence out there, but that's another story.
Oh no, yeah.
It's not real. Okay.
Yeah, yeah. No, you're right. There's plenty of artificial intellectualism, but there's artificial intelligence on top of that. Yeah.
Yeah. What kind of role is that going to play, though? I mean,
it's going to be the cherubim and the seraphim, man. I mean, no, I don't know. The stalactite, stalagmite?
Stalactite, yeah.
Right. I think it's going to be...
Chicken and the egg?
And I don't know if that one works, it's going to actually really impact the way that consumers actually interacting. And so as buyers and sellers, as we're looking online or as we're looking at our phone, trying to figure out, you know, like how to list my house, how much to list it for, who to list it with, getting to know an area, getting to know what a market looks like before you enter it as a buyer. Learning your market as a seller, and then processes through that, and how really, not one or two, but pretty much all of the major real estate online companies at this point, they're tracking everything that you do that has anything to do with your app, with your, you know, depending upon where its privacy settings are set to, so with your location, and then doing predictive analytics to make sure that those ads that you may be seeing on like Facebook randomly appear, you know, how they say like your phone is listening to you, you know, it is. And if you don't close those apps, chances are they are too. And so, but you'll see those ads start to pop and start to follow, and to make within that AI platform or platforms make choices or determinations about where that information gets sent. And so that it's a bit more targeted. And
now you're making me all paranoid.
Yeah, you should close your Zillow app, man.
I don't have a Zillow app.
Oh, that's good.
I'll be honest with
too.
You. I do not have a Zillow app on my phone. Now, somehow, because at one time I looked at Zillow, and now I get emails from them constantly.
Right.
Once a week telling me about why I should be doing something or not doing something or whatever.
Well, and that's just one of those things. And so I talk a lot about privacy. So real estate brokerages, agents are all fiduciary bound, which means, you know, we have to protect, you know, confidentiality, your financial information. There's a lot of things that go with that, right? And so I always tell people too, when I'm like, listen, if you want to have a discreet search on one of these websites, then it's simple. You know, you share as little as possible. And the way to do that is usually within the privacy settings of your phone or your browser, which is the primary search piece right now for people. And to make sure you set your browsing to private. And so that way it's not tracking you, right? And you can be able to look, you know, through all of these different properties and not be overwhelmed by, you know, ads kind of coming back at you. Now, from the moment that you make contact through some of these apps, that what's actually end up happening now is that's it's also being it's being collected for what they can do right away with it, which is one, sell it off to a real estate agent, because they are selling that, to be clear. They're paying for that, right?
Mm-hmm.
To be able to have access to that buyer. And to sell that contact information off to a real estate agent, and for them to kind of take the lead going forward, and blah blah blah. This is your house now, you know. Congratulations, welcome home, right? And then that evolves later on into like, well, this person bought a home in this period of time. We have this from this previous, archived piece, and the predictive analytics show that the market in that particular area is changing rapidly. And maybe going up or down, this could be a particularly targetable person to be able to put more ads back on to relist or to, you know, go and purchase another house. And so, it's getting to be a little interventionist, but it's also pretty passive in the way that it is. And so, most people can't really see that it's happening. This is my takeaway from it, And that's with all of the, you know, really major real estate kind of search places. So there's all of that. That was fascinating, a little scary, kind of cool, but really interesting too. Then the degree of the influence of social media in real estate is probably going to be increasing pretty dramatically as well. So seeing how like Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, Snapchat, and there's more that are beginning to take a role in real estate marketing, for agents using that as marketing or brokerages using that as marketing. And websites for those real estate offices really becoming probably less important as far as a search tool, and maybe more of just kind of like, I don't know, it's almost like a blackboard. It's like, wait, who is this guy? Where does he work for? Let's Google him and find him. Oh, yeah, here's his website. Here's his office. There's his stuff, right? So it's kind of more of like an info page that's available. So it's fascinating. And so in some ways, there's kind of like this slight evolutionary shift where like Facebook is becoming your website and your website's becoming what Facebook was, right? Yeah. And so, no, that's going to be interesting, too, especially since like Facebook announced their privacy policy changes that are going to be coming out here soon. So I'm interested to see what that looks like. One of the difficulties with the social marketing, media marketing, is that it can be really directed really easily. And there's a couple of spots in there for disclosure that state, yes, no, you can't necessarily discriminate who you're marketing to. So I know, right? And so if I want to just, this is a hypothetical, I cannot do this, but I'm going to just talk about this because I'm being overt about this because this could be pretty legal. And so if I wanted to just market to everybody between the ages of, let's say, 32 to 42, within a very specific location, and I did that, or I wanted to market only to men or only to women, maybe somebody of racial background, you know, toss that into the mix, highly illegal. And so can't do it because it's a HUD thing. It's a housing urban development,
okay.
Right?
Yeah, equal housing.
Right. You have to provide equal housing to all people who need it, request it, and then that you're marketing to as well. So making sure that part is done, there's going to be this huge kind of adaptation that I think a lot of real estate will end up going through as they kind of go through some of the social media marketing to make sure that they're compliant. There's probably going to be a lot of fined agents and companies too by the Real Estate Commission for making minor mistakes, probably honest mistakes too, quite frankly, in that. And so that's an important thing. Compliance is always a massive part of these conferences. A video is really something that isn't just like on the horizon in it. It's a part of it. I mean, like this, for example, good morning. This is part of video, and we're putting our agents online, getting ourselves online, getting our brokerages in such a way where that if people want to interact with us and have that individualized, personalized message while we're, you know, connecting with them and they're, you know, the one piece of screen time that they get in a large dose, then we're doing it. So that was interesting too, seeing like how much marketing had a directive towards agents and towards offices. I kind of wanted to really kind of see a bit more, what's next. I wanted to see the next tier of really what's out there. I think RE/MAX has a really good plan for it, but when it comes to Realtor and Zillow and Homes.com and Trulia, I mean, you know, they're all real estate marketing companies. I'm not saying disparaging about any of them, I'm not really sure what their next step plan is, and I'm not really sure what's beyond that for, you know, how those real estate marketing companies, what makes them more relevant as time goes by. And I think some of it's going to be having a stronger role within the real estate process, but we'll have to see.
We're talking real estate this morning, right at home with Matt Cardzolotti, brought to you by University of Iowa Community Credit Union. Your community, your credit union. We'll come back right after this.
University of Iowa Community Credit Union is the number one mortgage lender in Iowa. That's because they offer low rates, no 1% origination fee, and 100% financing. For residents living in Grinnell and the surrounding areas, they also have a local mortgage expert right in Grinnell. Aaron Black has 17 years of mortgage experience and is ready to serve you from their office at 705 6th Avenue in downtown Grinnell. Contact Aaron at 236-1801 or online at uiccumortgage.com to get started with your purchase and refinance mortgage loan. UICCU is an equal housing lender.
Back on Right at Home with Matt Cardzolotti, recapping his trip to Vegas, babe. So you didn't go see Tim McGraw?
I didn't.
What a...
Or The Hill.
Oh, okay. Right. Did you see Donny Osmond?
I did see a picture of him.
Okay.
Yeah, giant one. He looks like he's 12 in the, like the...
I'm sure.
Yeah, it was a little weird.
A little tough nip and tuck
I think
there.
It was at the Rio or something like that, in the side of a building or right. Downtown. I don't know. Yeah.
Was there a trade show along with this conference?
Yeah, there was a significant one. And so there was, vendors from all over the world. There was actually, fascinating guy that I've actually talked to before, Peter Chavermade, who's a... Box Brownie, he does this, and they're an Australia-based company. They were there.
Was there one technology or something that just kind of really jumped to something you're like, ah, that is really awesome, cool, unique, different?
Yeah. Actually, it's probably DocuSign. Yeah.
DocuSign.
Well, I was an early subscriber to DocuSign, and so we actually brought like digital documents to Grinnell and to our area, to our county, to our MLSs, and kind of used them a bit more, and we have for an office for a long time. And then DocuSign which is like an electronic paperwork completion, right? So, you know, so much right now, you can actually go right in, you get an email, you open it on your iPhone, and you're like, oh, I can actually just sign this right here and send this back. But there's also not necessarily an authentication kind of receipt or anything that's with that, right? And so what DocuSign can actually do is put that all together and actually make sure that, like, hey, here's your, not necessarily a receipt, it's like a report. It'll show what time somebody opened something, what time they looked at it, what time they signed it, and then all of the other priorities that are put in place, like who got it when and when it goes to there and all of that. And
so it's basically the back. It's the old Manila envelope that has little lines on it that people would track. You know, how this thing went through
right.
Inter
office. Yeah, it's like inter office mail.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah,
it's that same kind of thing, but you know, it can be done in seconds online,
oh.
And without having to toss things in a series of tubes, right? And it's just the internet series of tubes. And
Candygram for Mr. Mongo.
Right. Mongo. The other is the transaction room piece of it, which is like being able to potentially bring all of the moving parts of a real estate transaction into one kind of blockchain environment. And so you could put a lender in it. You can put your settlement agent. You could put your abstractor even in there if you really want to. All the attorneys, buyers, sellers, real estate agents. And then they all have kind of like their own little venue to be able to go in and complete documents. And then there's also a hierarchy and accountability for when those things are done. It's elaborate, and it certainly takes quite a bit of front-end preparation if someone's integrate this. We have this, and we've been using it, almost a year now. And it's certainly not an easy adaptation, and there's actually people that go around and train how to use this application. That's like part of their gig. Kind of like, Excel, right? It's like, oh, if you figure out how Excel works, great, right? And you can do anything with it once you figure it out. It's the same kind of thing with DocuSign. I mean, it's like, they almost need to have like a DocuSign class just to be able to go do the transaction rooms. But so, yeah, that was cool. That was interesting. That was really neat. There's a ton of signage stuff. There's some digital signage. There's Image Surge has like some interactive kind of signs for front windows and things. And so we do have some of that should be coming. And
has anybody developed like the changing, how like the billboards, the electronic billboards and everything? Have they change pages? Have they developed a smaller version like that for sale signs out in the yard?
I'm sure you could have one made, but it would be quite expensive. I'm not personally interested in buying those, Tim.
Oh, okay. I just thought that'd be kind of cool because you could have the thing in there. You could be showing some of the interior pictures of the house outside.
Yeah. I think I have 240 yard signs.
Yeah.
And they're about $100 a piece. So,
Okay with it.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. No, I mean, I might put a solar light on one, but that's probably about as elaborate as I'm going to get.
Okay. Just to know.
Buy a reflective one.
I didn't know if anybody ever actually has actually developed something like that yet.
Yeah, no, there's some of that technology out there, but it's just a matter of like how much do you want to pay for them and do you really want to do that? Yeah. Commercial signage is really expensive. And so, and you'll see that, which is pretty routine through some of the major commercial listings will actually... like in a major city, what they'll actually do is wrap up their signage into their listing contract, and so that seller is actually paying for their own marketing for that property as time goes by. Because otherwise, you think about it. I mean, even in like remote central kind of Iowa, if you want a commercial sign, that's a typical real estate sign. You're looking at a 4x8 sheet of plywood for the minimum size. 2 4x4 posts put into the ground, attached, and then you need to get something printed to put on top. So you got about another 350 to about 550 just for the front of that sign. I mean, it adds up pretty quick. I mean, somebody by the time you're done getting it installed, just to get that sign on the ground is $1,000. So, I mean, yeah. signage is it's an important and very expensive piece of real estate. So, yeah.
All right. No numbers this week because you've been busy.
Yeah, no, it's been a challenging week getting back up to speed after I worked while I was in Vegas, but no, it's been challenging catching up. So we'll have them next week for us.
All righty, and we'll do it again next week, same bat time, same bat station for University of Iowa Community Credit Union. This is Right at Home for Matt Cargelotti.
That's me.
That's right. Maybe. To find this available on our website at myiowainfo.com and on your Facebook, right?
Yeah, yeah. It'll be on the office page. Yeah.
All right. I'm Jim Dill for 1410 KGRN.